Who knows what we've been talking about? It's been kind of disjointed. The fruit of the Spirit, yeah. So we've gone through which ones? Love and joy. I am on peace. I get peace. Yeah, we're going to go through all of them. So tonight, we are talking about peace. Who knows where, I already told you the answer, but who knows where in the Bible, Galatians 5 is the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So we're going to pull that up in my little Bible. Out of the NIV version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the passions, and desires, and it just goes on and on and on. But the main thing we want is the fruit of the Spirit, which is, once again, yes. Thank you, Lauren, for the song. I spent many a year with little kids singing that song. It's so much fun. All right, so we are on, once again, the fruit of peace. So I approached this thinking that I completely understood what I was going to be talking about because I'm like, peace, I got that. I know what peace means. If I had to ask you a question and I said, what would you define the word peace as? What would you say? No disturbances. So most of you would probably say, like, no conflict, right? If there's no war, then people say there's peace. That's what you would come. That's what you would say, no conflict, no war. So like, what if I told you that's not really what the Bible is presenting you when it presents you peace? You would believe me. The Bible can be tricksy. A state of great happiness. All right, well, when we define peace in the Bible, there's two main words that we use. One of them is fairly common. It's the Hebrew word, which is love. Shalom. Shalom. So shalom is used in the Old Testament. And then when we get into the New Testament, they start using a Greek word instead of Hebrew. And the Greek word is spelled E-I-R-E-N-E. So it's like Irene with an E, but you pronounce it Irene. Irene. Like Irene really far away. I ran a really far way. I ran a really far way. So, I ray nay. Yes. So, we're going to talk about that piece, which is the New Testament, which is the version of I ray nay, which means essentially the exact same thing as shalom. So, when we define it, there's two meanings that I want to focus on tonight. One is a tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, are also to be complete or whole or to live well. So when we're talking about peace, we have to focus on not just our peace, but the bigger peace, because God is peace and God came to bring us peace. The first verse that we're going to go to tonight is in Ephesians, so that we get the full picture of peace. So it's Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. I'll give you a brief moment to pull that up. So much quicker. Yes. So it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace for you who were far away, and peace for those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." So this right here is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Everybody know what a Gentile is? Yes, what is a Gentile? Yes, a Gentile is any non-Jew. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. So back in the day, there was hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles because one group thought they were better, the other group thought they were better, one thought they knew everything, the other group thought they knew everything, like most people nowadays. So this is basically saying, though, that God came down to give you peace, but not just to give you peace, to give your neighbor peace, not just to give them peace, but the person they don't like peace, and the person that you don't like peace, so that everybody can have peace. So it's not just about your peace, it's about whole peace. So first point, if you're noting, if you're not, then first point anyways. Our life should represent peace. So we can't just extend peace to our situations in life. We have to extend them to others and be what is called a peacemaker, which is most people's least favorite word. Because a lot of people, do you have a person, except for some people, Lucas. Lucas loves to be a peacemaker. Look. He's like, don't raise your hand, don't name names, but do you have somebody that you can think of who loves to stir a pot? They live off of drama. They live off drama. No names, but they live off drama. 80% of the time, their favorite phrase is, I don't like drama, but 80% of the time, that person would not be considered a peacemaker, okay? So, and here's the thing. If they say they have the peace of God in their life, but then they are a pot stirrer, we can surmise that they don't necessarily have that peace that they talk about, because it's not just peace for you, it's peace for everybody else. So you can't claim that you have the peace of God if you're over there stirring up discord with your friends, correct? So another definition of the word irene means peace between individuals, our harmony. So we can look at it as it's a wholeness in God, it's to be complete, but it's also peace with others. So we have to be peaceful with other people. Nowadays, peace is really hard to find. If you look at the news, this person hates this person said something to this person, and now this country hates this country. If you look at any war that ever happened, generally, they're not peaceful things, unless you count the Great Emu War. But generally, if you have a war is not the very peaceful thing, okay? So Jesus even states in Matthew, which is in the Beatitudes, that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. So basically, this is saying when you show the fruit of peace in your life, when you're not just keeping it inside, but when you're showing it with other people, you are showing an aspect of God that is cultivated and has come through you. And a really important one in my mind. So we know what peace is. We know that our life should define peace. We should reflect peace in everywhere that we go. Where does our peace come from? The Lord. Good job. It's like you guys have my notes in your hands. Anyways, so going to John 14:27, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So this is literally saying that peace comes from one place, and that place is from God. So we can't focus on the outside world or the crazy things that are happening. It's like I said earlier, everything nowadays promotes not peace. If you're getting your peace from the news, you're not going to be a peaceful person. There's this show that me and Jennifer watch. We haven't watched it in a very long time, but it's called Fresh Off the Boat. And it is the greatest show in the world. It is the greatest show in the world. And it's about this family from China, this Chinese family, who immigrates to America, their parents do, and they move down to Florida, okay? And so you get all these Chinese values with this American culture mixing. Well, in one of the episodes, their mom discovers the nightly news. And it is the greatest thing in the world. I'll still say to Jennifer, to this day, anything that happens, she instantly freaks out, and she'll go, I saw it on the nightly news. So, for instance, she's at her husband's restaurant, and she's like, we don't have enough lights outside. Babies are getting kidnapped. I saw it on the nightly news. And so everything's on the nightly news. She ends up putting, like, plastic on her couch because diseases are rampant because of the nightly news. But it's eventually where she can't sleep because all she's focused on is the nightly news and all of the terrors that it brings. One time she even freaks out about something and he's like, was it on the nightly news? She goes, no, the nightly news was on a break. It was on 60 Minutes. So I say all that to say you can't base your peace, you can't base your trust on the news, because the news is made for shock. News is made to make you go, oh my goodness, did they say that? It's a shock factor. It's made to keep you on the edge of your seat so that you'll keep watching, so they'll keep getting ratings, so that they have a job. It's their job to make you go, oh my goodness, is that really what they said? And that could be like a fraction of what they said. That's another thing. Guys, news people can lie. I know it's just shocked all your little hearts. Just shocked all your little hearts. All right. But we can't focus, we can't base our peace off of the things we see in the world. We have to base our peace off of God. And the best way to grow your peace and to get more peace in your life, to have more peace, is your relationship with God. We can directly tie our relationship with God to peace. Because you'll find out in life, the better relationship you have, generally, when things come your way, you have more peace about it because you know the God that you trust. Like we sang earlier, I know who you are. So I have faith, and I can have peace because of my faith. And my faith is stronger because I read my word more, and so that leads into my peace, and it all is just one big circle of life. So it's hard to have true peace. We talk about your relationship being your peacemaker. And so it's hard to have true peace when you don't believe in God and you're not living for the Lord. Isaiah 40:22 mentions that there is no peace for the wicked. And you might be saying, but I know all these people who I know they don't live for the Lord because I've seen them, but they seem peaceful. And so you say, how does that happen? It's this thing we like to call a false sense of security. So my other favorite phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. If you look at all these actors like Robin Williams, all of these people, sorry, my heart just, the genie in the Aladdin cartoon, his name is Robin Williams. He was an extremely popular comedian in the 90s. He was in a lot of movies. Yes, he was in the greatest movie ever called Hook, best movie ever, woot woot, greatest movie ever, Rufio, respect. Anyways, on the outside, Robin Williams' life looked great. He had money, he had fame, he had most things that most teenagers want to aspire to. He had good jobs, he got to be in movies, he got to be a star. I think he even has his name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, don't quote me on it. It's probably there, he's important. But what you don't see from the outside is that on the inside, he battled years and years and years and years and years of depression and alcohol abuse, which eventually led to his suicide. So when you look at things like that and you go, well, obviously they have their life together, but all you're seeing is the outward facade. You're not seeing the inside. You're not seeing the turmoil, and you're not seeing the anxiety and the war that's fighting inside because they don't have that peace that comes from God. Gotcha. All right. So moving forward, if we have peace in our lives and we have this great relationship with God, does that mean we're never going to have a bad situation? I know. So, heavens. So the dictionary likes to define peace as no conflict and no war. That's Webster's dictionary definition. But when you look at the Bible doesn't define it that way. The Bible never mentions that there's not conflict, but it mentions being peaceful, which is the word peace. But it mentions a tranquil state of your soul that's assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, are to be complete and whole and live well. So it doesn't mean the absence of conflict or bad things in your life. It means that no matter what the situation that you're going through, you have peace in that moment that you know that God is with you. And that still, things might happen in your life. And you know, not every day that will be perfect. So if we have those times when we feel like our peace is being tested or our fruit is being tested, what's the one thing we can do? I'm happy you asked. We're doing this thing on Sunday morning. It's called our life verse. I somehow got out of doing a life verse. I was scheduled. And then it's over. I'm doing it right now. It was scheduled. I was scheduled for it. And then I got moved. But there was nowhere to move me to. And then Teen Talent and Cam, so you get my life verse tonight. So, life verse. So, my life verse comes from Philippians 4:6-7. Haha. I'll give you one moment while I breathe. I forgot what that was. Yes. Oh, don't ask me those questions. That's why I use a phone. All right, so Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we're going to read that again. So, do not be anxious about anything. That means nothing, ever. You know, that's hard. That's so difficult. Exactly. You have exams coming up. You guys are deciding your life. People expect you to have your life down by 10th grade. You should know what college you're going to, where you're graduating, what you're going to do, what this is going to happen. You're taking AP classes so that you can be smart with your friends. So anxiety is kind of common, okay? But it says, do not be anxious in anything. But, I love a good but in a sentence, because it means things are going to turn around, usually. There's about to be a little extra tidbit in there. So that's, but in every situation, all of them, so that means your exams, your life, your future, your prospective relationships, your friendships, maybe something you want to watch on TV, maybe something that's happening in your life, maybe that bully that you don't want to see tomorrow, maybe that person that you don't want to have to walk down the hall. In every situation, by prayer and petition, who knows what a petition is? What's a petition, Ms. Lauren? Right, so like a petition is something that's asking, it's like a request. If you fill out a petition for something, that means somebody is requesting something happens, and you're putting your signature saying, I support that. So we bring a petition to God, and I'm not saying bring a laundry list to God. Don't be like, God, I really need, so like my dog's left foot, sometimes it looks weird, and I really need his left paw. And then also, God, sometimes I don't like my hair, so if that could be longer. And then also, if you could do something about my face, I really would love that. And then if you could also do this, God. And then also, I have this thing that's going on in my life. You know, God, I just want that one done. And then also, if I could just, like, you know, have a good day, and then all this, and then all this. I'm not saying bring a laundry list, but present with thanksgiving. So that means thanking him for what he's already done, which is hard to do. Hard to do. One of Ms. Rhonda's favorite phrases is that anybody can praise God when the Red Sea is splitting, but it's really, really hard to praise God when you're standing at the bank of the river and the Egyptians are on your way and you're going, holy goodness, what do I do now? Wow. So we have to focus our minds, though, because in that moment, we have to go, okay, I'm on the bank of this river. This river called exams, or this river called life, or this river called my boyfriend just broke up with me for the 30th time. And I'm on the bank of this river, and I don't know what's going to happen. It's behind me, and it's approaching fast. And I know that there's something across this river, and I know that there's something that you've promised me, and it's over there, and I don't know how I'm getting over there. Because when you look at the story of the Israelites, they had across the river, through the woods, to grandmother's house, they went to the promised land. There was actually no grandmother's house. There was 40 years of desert. But they knew that across that river, they had a promise. And so there are some of them in the Bible that they're like, oh my goodness, why did you bring us out here? What are we doing? You could have just left us there. We're dying. We were comfy there. We didn't need you. What have you done? But I like to imagine that maybe not all of them were that way. I like to imagine that maybe we know at least some of them, hopefully, were like, okay, I trust that we're here for a reason. And I'm going to be okay, and then the sea parted. So we have to, but in those moments, we have to look at ourselves and we have to go, okay, I know what it says on the outside, and I know what it looks like on the outside, and I know what I'm going through, and obviously, I'm the only one who's ever gone through this. Nobody else has ever had this issue in my life. This has never happened to anybody but me. But I know that no matter the situation, I'm going to present my request to God, and then it says, once you do that, with prayer and thanksgiving, the prayer part sometimes is hard. I can admit to that. Sometimes prayer is not the easiest thing. Sometimes you fall asleep when you're praying. I've never done that. Never done that. But anyways, it says, once you've done this, it says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So thanking him as you're sending it up, going, God, I don't know how this is happening, but I know that it's going to happen, and I trust you. And it says, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. So that's a pretty big, like, all understanding, a whole collective of people. A whole collective of people who have created iPhones and Samsungs, which are better, and cars that drive themselves, and bridges, and all kinds of things. All of that understanding, your peace will transcend that. And that's the easiest way to say that is, it's going to transcend anything that you can think of. So your brain, our brains are very, very finite. There's only but so much that we can think of. And so we can't think always on a heavenly scale. We can think on a down here scale. And down here scale and heavenly scale are not the same two things. So it's saying that that peace will transcend all of the understanding that we have in our heads. And it's basically a peace on a heavenly level. Okay? So I said that this is my life verse, because I'm cheating. So... So, I said that this is my life verse, because in my life I'm a very anxious person. I get anxious really, really easily. There have been a lot of moments in my life. My parents got divorced when I was a teenager, not super young, but young-ish. So I had that, and then school was never the best. I didn't really fully enjoy school. I liked learning, just didn't like the people that I had to deal with. And so I have a very anxious personality. I get very anxious very easily. I try to hide that with a happy, joyous personality, but there are those moments and times when it kind of just becomes overwhelming. And there have been times on my job where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. There have been times where I wasn't sure how a certain situation was going to be fixed. And in my mind, I was like, well, no, this is obviously the end and I'm just done. But in those moments, I always end up coming back to this verse, and I always start by going, be anxious about nothing. And it's usually like the first 5 seconds of me going, but God, you don't understand. You totally don't understand what I'm going through in this moment, because obviously this is like super important. And then after he's like, no, we understand. And once we get that through, I'm like, okay, we're good. And once I calm myself down and I start reading through the verse, I'm like, be anxious for nothing. Okay, I can do that. And with prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present my requests. And I'm like, here's the request. So I'm going to toss it up in the air and just have faith. And then you'll notice the more you do this and the more you pray and the more that you get into your word and you start reading and you start developing that relationship with God, which we talked about earlier, builds that peace. You'll notice that in really odd situations, you'll just go, oh, okay. There's a story that I found about a guy. His name is George Carpenter. He was a general for the Salvation Army, which just means that he was really important in the Salvation Army. And he was a general in the Salvation Army at a really, really bad time. He was the general during World War I. So he went through a whole lot with the Salvation Army, and his daughter was a missionary, and she was a missionary overseas, and she was preaching the word. She was going and ministering to people, to the unreached people's groups, and she contracted malaria, and she passed away. One big awe. And within about an hour or two of her passing, her dad looked at her mom, and he said, you know, I feel this odd calm and this odd sereneness about her. And her mother was like, that must be what they mean when they say the peace of God. So he knew in his heart was broken because he lost his daughter. But he also knew on a heavenly spiritual level that his daughter was okay, because he had faith and he trusted that she knew God and that she was going to heaven, and that gave him a peace. There's a really good story that I have from my personal life. When my grandmother was passing, she had Alzheimer's. And she was laying in her hospital bed, well, her bed at her house, because she had those people who come, hospice, that's the name of them. She had hospice come, and they were coming after her, and they were, you know, doing good for her. They were helping her. She got to a point where she couldn't eat by herself. Her body had really lost all of its functions. And my family gathered around her as she was passing. She wasn't dead yet, but they gathered around her, and they started singing a song that says, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above." And as we were sitting in that room, past all of our, you know, our physical emotions that we had, we knew that in that moment there was a peace of God that was passing all of our understanding, that was giving us a tranquilness and a completeness and a wholeness, because we knew God and we knew that she knew God. And later the hospice lady said, she goes, "You know, that's one of the most peaceful passings that I think I've ever witnessed." She said, "You can really tell when somebody doesn't have that peace and that reassurance in their lives because they almost fight it." And she just passed so peacefully, and she was there, and then she wasn't. So I think the really important thing to take away from this tonight is that peace is a really important thing. If you don't have peace in your life, it can lead to a lot of anxiety. It can lead to a lot of fears, unnecessary fears. And the best way to culture and to grow that peace is through God. And the first step with that is a relationship with God, because without that relationship with God, you can't have peace. So I would ask that you all would just kind of stand up. And I'm not going to make you raise your hands. I'm not going to make you, you know, single yourself out. But if you say, "You know, I don't have that relationship with God. I don't really know God. I know of God, but we don't have that relationship." And you want that peace, I just ask that you would come down here. Or if you say, "Maybe my peace has been a little shaky lately, and I really want to grow that peace better, and I really want to be closer to God," I just ask that you guys just come down here for the next few moments and just pray. Pray for either God to, you know, come deeper into your life and increase that peace, or pray for him to come into your life for the first time and give you peace. All right. So just one more thought while we're closing. Like I said, teenage years can be hard. I was a teenager not too long ago. And teenage years can be really, really tough. And I know it's really easy to have like situations in your life that you might say, "You know, I don't really know how these situations are going to work out, or these situations are swallowing me whole." But the peace of God goes a really, really long way. I can safely and calmly say there's never been a single situation in my life that I thought was out of control, that when I prayed and I really asked God, that his peace didn't come over me and that I didn't feel better about it. So just try, you know, guys, as you're going through the end of the school year with your exams and everything, try to approach more things with prayer. Try to be more prayer-minded. Try to look more for the peace of God in your life instead of the turmoil, and try to focus more on God and less on the nightly news. All right, so if everybody just bow your heads one more time. Dear God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this day and for this opportunity, God. And I just pray that you would just fill their lives with peace, the peace that you say that passes all understanding, the peace that overcomes all of our fears and our anxieties and in our minds, God. And you would just fill us with greater peace than we've ever known, Lord. And we will be careful, God, to give you the glory and the honor in everything that we do, for it is for you and for you alone. And in your holy name we pray. Amen.